Welcome back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just serving up some red meat for the soul. All right, so I'm going to jump into my first dipper, but let me give a few text messages here real quick. Herb from Gurley says, can Trump pardon himself before the sentencing if he's elected? Well, first of all, it probably won't happen because the sentencing is November 26th. He will not be sworn into office until the inaugural takes place in, what, January, February? The timing of that probably wouldn't happen. Could he pardon himself is also arguable on this case because it's actually a state case and he would be a federal officer. So as the chief executive, he can pardon within federal court cases. I don't believe he can in state cases. But then the other piece of this is, but Alvin Bragg turned it into a felony by tying it to federal campaign finance laws. So the yoking of the state misdemeanors to the federal felonies to create the felony that he tried in state court, it's just the whole thing is the biggest batch of legal jackassery that I think I've ever seen. On the jackassery. I just said jackassery, and you're like, there, now you got a button over there. There it is. Oh, Big Rig, I'm saying the magic word there, brother. John from Pike Road says, hey, Phil, this is John. Did you see where the mayor of Montgomery signed an ordinance requiring something open carry in the city to provide ID? What? If stopped and asked by the police. I thought stop and frisk was bad for Democrats. That's awesome. Okay, then I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. John, if that's the case, if they want to go down that route, then we need to ask anybody for their papers to see whether they're citizens. And then while we're at it, let's go ahead and say stop and frisk. If you look suspicious, we can just check you. I mean, where does that stop? Why don't we go back to broken windows theory of law enforcement? That's a great idea. We're basically, you heavily enforce the minor crimes, which stops people from going to the major crimes. The mayor of Montgomery is so out of his league. I don't think he can find his backside with both hands, John. I just don't. Jim from Grove Oak, Alabama. Benghazi reminds me of Hillary getting caught using a private server for official government business after being accused of scrubbing the server. She replied, what, with cloth? Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was even more than scrubbing it. She actually had one of her campaign workers, I believe, who took the hard drive out and took a hammer to it. So anyway, Big Rig, you found that article on Yellowhammer a minute ago.
Yep.
Charlie Daniels. So it's still up there from what date? You still got it?
I don't know the date. Oh, March 18th, 2014.
2014. All right. And what was it Charlie said back to me?
He said, I hope something wonderful happens to you today.
Just warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah. It doesn't show me what he said to begin with, though.
I think I was responding to something that he was calling somebody out on. Mm-hmm. But when I saw him tweet it, I just chimed in and that's when he replied back to me. But
nice.
It's my brush with fame, man. Charlie Daniels, me and him, buds. Tweeting partners. All right, listen, we're going to come back after this break and we're going to jump on into Back the Blue because this involves a discussion about the Georgia school shooting. And if you didn't hear the news, it broke today that the dad was arrested today, not just the son, but the dad. And you look at it and go, really? Can they do that? The story gets a little deeper. So I'll break that down for you in a minute. How can a parent be arrested for the actions of a child? Well, there has to be some measure of criminal negligence involved. And that's where it is. He's being charged with criminal negligence, and it is largely believed by the law enforcement that he knew that his son was a at risk of doing something like this, and then put his son in the position to be able to do it. I don't mean drove him to the school, but I mean basically didn't do enough to stop it. Can the dad be convicted for this? I didn't know Georgia law allowed for that, but apparently so. So the dad and the son were both arraigned in court today in Georgia. In the meantime, I just want to make sure that everybody recognizes that this school shooting was awful and that while the narrative is certainly supposed to be focused on the victims and unjustly focused on the guns, that there needs to also be some lauding of the police officer who intervened. I think there were one or two. There was one SRO, a school resource officer, who intervened and saved the day. No telling where it could have gone otherwise. So yeah, we're going to back the blue. And so we'll talk about that. There have been some times when police officers have done some amazing things in these school shootings. And then we got one that was an example of how never to do it. And I think the world learned a lesson from that one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number two coming up. We will be right and we will be back. Y'all stay tuned. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, you are welcome to text it or call it 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you got questions about the Trump legal situation, that's even on the screens right now as I'm sitting here. Just talked about that for a bit. You're welcome to text it or call it. And then I'm going to jump on in now to Dipper number one, the official Dipper, because that was the unofficial Dipper. That was the mini Dipper. Let me do the official Dipper. Back the blue. So this show will always err on the side of backing the men and women who are our first responders, our military. And granted, I know they screw up, and I got a screw up here that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But generally speaking, when I see a story that has law enforcement in the mix, my first impression, I err on the side of them doing their jobs, doing it well. And prove otherwise if you've got news. But the school shooting that happened in Winder, Georgia. If you're not familiar where Winder, Georgia is, by the way, it's about, I think it's like roughly halfway between Atlanta and Athens. So it's over there sort of in the middle, upper east side of Georgia. Nice small town. I actually jumped there in as a paratrooper. I jumped there in an air show once. The school shooter himself was 14 years old. His name is Colt Gray. Colt Gray. We're hearing unsubstantiated reports. I am hearing that he was transgender. Don't know if it's true or not. I haven't found a news story to really validate that with. I will say this: libs of TikTok, which usually grabs news sources and you know converts them into social media. Libs of TikTok just put out, like in the last few minutes, that the Georgia school shooter had a Discord account. Big Rig, is Discord a social media platform, a messaging platform? I don't even know.
It's like a social meetup kind of thing.
Okay.
Like group, like.
Like where you can do group chat and all that like kind of
community
stuff.
Community thing, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Discord, he had a Discord account, and it was linked to him in which he shared his plans for a mass shooting. So that apparently is being attributed to him now. He talked about this. Apparently he fantasized about this in advance. On top of that, his father, as it says, has revealed that he was being bullied for being gay. It's also time, it says Libs of TikTok, to have a national conversation about the modern LGBTQ movement radicalizing youth into becoming violent activists. There's that. That's a whole other segment. But let's talk about what happened today. So first of all, the dad was arrested. The dad. I've already listened to the audio. The dad, the local police paid a visit to the shooter's house last year, a year ago. In 2023, they paid a visit to the house, and the audio recording of the conversation literally talked about there were indications the son had violent tendencies and that he had threatened to do a school shooting at some point. The dad is talking to a police officer saying, no, he understands guns. I've been teaching him how to go hunting and, you know, and I don't think he would ever do this, but listen, you talk to him, Mr. Officer, I don't know what the guy's name was, and try to weigh on him as to how serious this is. And the officer said, well, if it wasn't serious, I wouldn't be here. And he says, I know, I get that. The dad was being cooperative, but also defending his son, but yet being cooperative at the same time. It was one of those kind of stilted conversations, but it was complete. The officer had the son come in, sort of ready in the riot act, and then that was the end of it. What that clearly indicates, though, is the dad had knowledge a year ago that the son was potentially fantasizing about shooting up a school. So the dad has now been arrested and charged with criminal negligence. What criminal negligence means is he did something that was so negligent, so egregious, that a reasonable person similarly situated would not have done that thing. In this case is he left firearms capable of being in the possession of the 14-year-old son who had threatened to kill people without taking extra precautions to make sure they were secured. It didn't say he had to get him out of his house. It didn't say they had to have a red flag law. And I'm not even saying I all totally agree with this, because I'm a little torn on this, because this is guilt by association. This is saying that the actions of another person who may be mentally deranged is somehow being thrust upon you, except in this case, we do have a recording where the police had advised the father that the son had said some things and the dad still let it happen, apparently. I can't explain it all. All I know is the dad and the son were both arraigned in open court today. The son is 14. His whole life is gone. They're going to charge him as an adult. But worse than that, though, are the lives of the victims and the victims' families, who will forever be without their loved ones. Two students, 14 years old, both of them, were killed. Two faculty members were killed. Nine others were wounded and sent to the hospital. Here's the thing. Somewhere in the middle of all this story, what is not being said is how this was stopped. And I want to dive into that. I'll break down a few more details, and then I want to get to my real point, because this whole segment is called Back to Blue. So the suspected shooter, says Daily Wire, who killed four people and wounded nine others, is a 14-year-old student. Daily Wire didn't want to list his name. I'll tell you his name because they're trying him as an adult. His name is Colt Gray. Daily Wire points out, after being confronted by a school resource officer, the suspected shooter gave up, got on the ground, and the deputy took him into custody. The 14-year-old gunman killed two teachers, two students, before he surrendered. The sheriff added that at this time, law enforcement is not aware of any connection between the gunman and those that he shot. Statements began to come out, and you can imagine. Because, you know, never let a good tragedy go to waste, right? President Joe Biden immediately made statements calling for gun bans and condemning Republicans and gun manufacturers after at least four people were killed when a gunman opened fire at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia. Here's what he should be calling for. He should be calling for some of the just massive levels of cacistocracy and jackassery financing they've got in the federal government to be going to states for grants for SROs. That's what he should be calling for. Rather than curtailing Second Amendment liberties and calling for, you know, weapons of war to be taken out of the hands of civilians, what he should be saying is, we're going to start providing the resources states need to secure our kids. What's amazing to me, though, is that liberals don't often think this way. Liberals too often think of SROs as, we're militarizing a school. We just put kids into a position where they might feel uncomfortable because of a law enforcement officer. How about this? How uncomfortable are they when they're being shot at because there's no law enforcement there? I will never forget, and I've said it on the show before, I don't remember which school shooting it was. It might have been the Uvalde, Texas, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the small town of Altoona, Alabama, population like 912, Altoona, Alabama, had a county school just down the road, but it was outside of their municipal limits. So their jurisdictional limits for law enforcement were technically not there. They couldn't supply an SRO. The county didn't have the resources to put an SRO out there. That school is so far removed. I mean, literally, you have to want to go there to go there. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to stumble upon Altoona, Alabama. You pretty much have to have a reason to go out there. I love that little town. It became one of the favorite places of my Senate district. And now the leadership of Altoona, Alabama, that, you know, the city hall is just a nice tiny little building. It's a beautiful little community. Former coal mining town. They decided, you know what? We need to protect that school. And so they asked me if I could help them to do an annexation by agreement. They talked to three farm owners that were in between them and the school. And we worked out basically a strip of land that ran down through the three farms that would then become municipal limit. It's just like a pathway. It's a narrow pathway. I want to say in some places it's not but 50 feet wide. but it's now considered city property so that the school itself could be annexed into the city, the town, and they could provide an SRO because they were that serious about it. They wanted those kids to know that they were protected. Joe Biden comes out and he says in his statement that he's mourning the deaths of those whose lives were cut short due to senseless gun violence. How about just senseless violence? If you want to say violence that happened with a gun, fine. It's not just gun violence, it's senseless violence, period. Biden then slammed Republicans for their inaction on gun legislation, adding Republicans in Congress must finally say enough is enough and work with Democrats to pass common sense gun safety legislation. We must ban assault weapons, he said, and high-capacity magazines once again. Can I point out that when you did it before, it made no difference? But, you know, Joe Biden has never been one to really learn from his mistakes. Require safe storage of firearms. Enact universal background checks. End immunity for gun manufacturers. Do you know what that means? End immunity for gun manufacturers? That's like saying that since I made the baseball bat and somebody got hit with it, the bat manufacturer can be sued. Gun manufacturers are making a legal product. They're not placing them into the stream of commerce for the purpose of crimes. And to sue gun manufacturers, well, I'll tell you what. Next time somebody drinks and drives, let's sue the car manufacturer. How about that? Next time somebody, gets airsick while they're flying, let's make sure we sue the airline manufacturer, the airplane manufacturer. That makes sense. Well, they can't control the turbulence. Exactly. Well, the car manufacturer can't control the drunk driver. Exactly. And neither can the gun manufacturer control the shooter. But that's where Biden wants to go. Never mind the fact, though, that police responded to this active shooting almost immediately and shut it down. And it was a school resource officer that stopped him and took him into custody before he could do more. That's what we should be calling for. We need to put more SROs out there in schools. We need to make, if you're going to make resources available for things, if you're going to waste our money on other stuff like the Green New Deal, how about you take some of those resources and you start giving them to states? If you're going to start subsidizing, you know, solar, wind, and everything else, if you're going to undermine the auto manufacturing industry with EVs, if you're going to put billions of dollars into putting charging stations on the highways, how about we just take some of that, just a little piece of that, and start paying to put, you know, law enforcement officers in schools. It's not a hard calculus here. We'll talk about it more after this break, but I'm telling you, it was somebody in blue that stopped this from being a worse situation than it could have been. And that needs to be talked about. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Throwing truth bombs. Jeff from Indiana texted in and says, hey, Phil, guns in school is not the problem because when I was in school, the largest concentration of guns in the town was in the school parking lot. Yeah, I know. Because all the guys were usually hunters, and I can't tell you how many pickups of shotguns and rifles were in the back glass, but now they don't allow guns nowhere near school. And when someone shows up with one, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I get it, man. You are exactly right. What changed? I get it. Barry from Huntsville says, I'm curious on your thoughts about the judge in Birmingham that gave bond to a man arrested for murder, and the same man, after paying his bond, goes out and kills three more people. Can or should the judge be held liable? Well, I don't know unless we can find out that the judge was unduly influenced. The judge did his sentencing. And I will tell you, though, that judge is notoriously liberal. In fact, that judge is far more politically liberal than judges are supposed to be. And so there's that. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that David from Hoax Bluff? Hey, David, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Heading back home. Great thing. Great minds think alike, brother. You said almost verbatim what me and my buddies were talking about last night when they arrested the father and the SROs. And my point is, you hit it. You got the word. I said, quit giving money, foreign aid, to all these countries that really hate our guts anyway.
Yeah.
And we'll have, if we took 10% of that, Phil, we could have plenty of federal money, grants to local LA and school boards to have as many SROs we needed. And it should never be, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know why in the world they can't do that or why they won't. Well, I know why, but
yeah. Like you and I are both in Etowah County, and I remember, and it's been a few years back, but I remember when we were talking about trying to expand and put SROs in the schools, and I was looking at state funding and whether that was a possibility as a state senator, but there was talk about it was going to be the average SRO was going to be a cost of about $48,000 to the county per SRO, because you have benefits, you have payroll taxes, you have all the things that go with it, and then there's training and uniforming and all of it. So it was an annual expense, and it's cost prohibitive to some small rural counties, especially.
Oh, I know. Like you were talking about Altoona a while ago. Yeah, I love Altoona. I had Kent folks out there. Oh, not only coal, but iron ore too.
That's right. I appreciate the call, David, and stay on it, man. All right.
I will. I'll be calling tomorrow.
Oh, sounds good. Well, don't call tomorrow. Call Monday. We got John from Harvest. By the way, I'll just take some more text messages because I know the music's about to play. We're going to break here momentarily. But John from Harvest says, my high school had a rifle club. I had a number of friends that regularly brought their firearms to school. I know. Listen, it was the thing. There were schools, where was it that I was at, that had its own indoor rifle range. Like, wow, that's cool. But there's going to be differences in, you know, like what kind of firearms. I mean, I don't recall anybody ever having like a, you know, an AR in their back window of their truck, but, you know, having your shotgun on a rack in the back window was not uncommon, or at the very least behind the back seat. Kelly from Hamilton says, what was the movie you said earlier to watch? 13 Hours. It's called 13 Hours. And that's the actual number 13 spelled out. Not spelled out, but just the number, numerals 13. 13 Hours stars John Krasinski, James Badge-Dale, several other great, Pablo, I forgot Pablo's last name. But anyway, the bottom line is a great, great, great movie. If you haven't seen it, by the way, it is the survivors, some of them consulted on the movie. It is true to life. It is gritty. And it is something more to see. It'll give you a clear indication of what happened when Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden abandoned the Benghazi consulate while it was under attack. James from St. Clair County says, what is the Riot Act? What is the Riot Act? You mean as in the Riot and Insurrection Act? Or are you talking about, I'm not sure what we're talking about here, James. That's an odd question. Maybe did I say something earlier? Dustin from Hillsborough. Phil, did you happen to read the released manifesto of the Covenant school shooter? I've got something in my stack here about that. If so, was there anything you read that there would be a reason not to release it? No. It was withheld by the family. They claimed copyright. It's a weird deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one. I'm talking about this one. I mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I gotta pause here and remind you guys. So Inspire Advisors, that's their name. Inspire Advisors is one of the sponsors of the show, and they are so cool at what they do. So Inspire Advisors are epic good at helping you to grow the bottom line on your investments while also finding out what's in your portfolio and making sure that you're not investing in things that are actually contradictory to your own personal beliefs. They call it Biblically Responsible Investing, BRI. It's a real thing. And they are experts in it. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors are experts in the field of BRI, and they are willing to sit down with you in person, talk through the issues, make sure you understand what's in your portfolio, but it's also no fuss, no muss, no upsell, no nothing, just free opportunity to hear what you got and how they can help. If you want to know more, all you got to do is go to their website. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or you can just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, and click on the Right Side Radio sponsors tab and go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. But yeah, Inspire Advisors. It's financial freedom. I mean, it's conservative. It's godly. It's balanced. Inspire Advisors. Check them out. All right, let me just continue on this thread that I'm on. So back to blue. So I think that the world needs to get back to the fact that what we had happen in this school shooting could have been so much worse, except that there was a school resource officer who got in the way of the violence. And so Biden immediately calls for gun control. Immediately. Gun control, like end immunity for gun manufacturers. I mean, he went down the whole litany of the liberal wish list. Trump and Governor Kemp of Georgia came out with statements in which they basically just grieved with people, and which is, by the way, the more appropriate response. Daily Wire, Dateline 2 days ago, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and Georgia Governor Brian Kemp released statements on Wednesday evening after 4 people were killed and 9 more injured during the tragic shooting at Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia. "Our hearts are with the victims and the loved ones of those affected by the tragic events in Winder," Trump said. "These cherished children were taken from us far too soon by a sick and deranged monster." He basically, what he did was he grieved with the families, and he pointed guilt at the party who deserved the guilt. Not the gun manufacturers, not the Constitution. Kemp said in a statement that he and his family were also heartbroken by the news, and he talked about providing support. Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris said that these types of incidents need to stop, okay, but she remained vague and did not call for any kind of action. That's because she's running for office. She's scared of what will be said. We know she's a gun control nut. We know that Tim Walz is too. So what do we know about the shooter? Well, we know he's 14 years old. We understand that the kid was, you know, espousing that he was gay, maybe even transgender. Don't know all that for a fact. But the dad says he had been bullied at school. His response to the bullying was apparently to take a weapon to the school and kill innocent people. He is now being tried as an adult. I thought this is interesting. As we back the blue, let's talk about some things that happen in backing the blue. You give them the tools they need, right? But you also have to give them access to those tools. What do I mean by that? Resourcing of security for our kids should be the priority. I'm not talking about every school having to be on lockdown all the time and you have to walk through metal detectors. I mean, there should be freedom of movement. There should be socialization. There should be the opportunity for kids to have normal lives. But you can do certain things, and they're not cost prohibitive. And there's really no reason not to. In Alabama, a few years back, when I was still in the state Senate, we passed some legislation that was designed to bolster the ability and all we could deal with was public schools. It's voluntary by private schools, and it's supposed to be mandatory by public schools. One of the things we do is that every school has to have its blueprints on file with local law enforcement. Why? So if there's a hostage situation or some type of active shooter capability, they have a layout of the school to work with. That was just one of the simple things you can do to back the blue. You don't make it a guessing game. Now, granted, they still have to have access to, once you give it to them, it's on them to train on. You can also, by the way, make the schools available for training events, and they do. In the summertime, on the weekends, I have more than once known of local schools in my area allowing local law enforcement to do training events where they actually stage out, you know, the shoot, no shoot drills and going up and down the hallways and checking the classrooms. And they should. And then there's this, which I find this fascinating. That yes, it was an SRO. Let me get to this. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office stated that they were able to arrive on the scene within minutes. Minutes. Where's the sheriff's office? Here, the Barrow County Sheriff's Office responded to the reports of an active shooter. Within minutes, law enforcement was on the scene, as well as the 2 school resource officers assigned to the school. So they had 2 resource officers. And they also had this. Every teacher was wearing something, I've never heard of this before till now, called a Centigix ID. Centigix. It's a company. That's the company name. Centegix. I'm saying all this because what I want you guys to do out there is not go, well, that's neat. If your kids are in a public school system, you have a right as a parent to say, Mr. Superintendent, Mr. School Board Member, can I ask you what security measures do we have in place? And what can we do to get you more? The Centigix ID, apparently every teacher wore like a badge on a lanyard around their neck during the workday. It's not hard. It's not obtrusive. Everybody who's got a job in any kind of facility that has to, you have a badge. Those badges also, though, had a button on them, almost like a life alert kind of thing. It was an alarm button. If an active shooter event occurred, the teacher could press the button on their badge, and it sent a signal to law enforcement that they had an active shooter situation. That Syntigic ID is a part of what got the police on site fast enough. The sheriff says the protocols at this school and the system that were activated today prevented this from being a much larger tragedy than what we had here today. Good for law enforcement, good for the local community, and good for the school system, all being capable and willing to put things in place. This needs to be talked about more. And I want to remind y'all, too, the Nashville school shooter, Audrey Hale, was the name of the transgender. She called herself something else. I think she chose her name to be Aiden, but it was really Audrey. Her manifesto was just published recently, and it's filled up with all kinds of incoherent ramblings and doodles and descriptions of self-loathing, and you know, and also, though, she talked in there about she wanted her massacre, she said, to end in a way that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the shooters at the Columbine High School, would be proud of, she said. Wow. She gunned down 3 9-year-old children and 3 adult staffers. But I will say this. The story that gets lost too often in the mix is that police responded to the Columbine shooting nearly immediately. Ran through the hallways. Like, I've seen the body cam footage. Ran through the hallways to the sound of the guns. Ran. Had they not done so, the death toll would have gone up. How not to do it? How not to do it happened in Uvalde, Texas back in 2022. That was an awful situation. We talked about it on the air quite a bit when I was on my show then. Listen, how not to do it was Uvalde, Texas. When local law enforcement was stymied, there was no command and control. They did not have a plan. And in that particular case, one crazy 18-year-old first shot his grandmother and then drove to an elementary school and killed 21 people, 19 of which were third and fourth graders. Just innocent children who went to school to play and see their friends and learn. Killed 21, wounded 17 more. Police stood outside the building debating what to do, talking about it, being told to stand down, being told to wait, we're going to bring in some shields, wait, we're going to bring in state law enforcement, they're going to help us, wait, we don't know what's happening in there, kids are dying. One of the officers who responded, his wife was in the building. He was determined to get in there. He was taken off the line and disarmed because they were afraid he would go reckless. Maybe they should have let him. They spent an hour and a half outside and then winding their way through the hallways slowly and methodically as he killed 21 people. All I'm saying is, you back the blue, it doesn't just mean you thank them after the fact. Back in the blue means doing things in advance. Back in the blue means you give them what they need to be able to do the things they're going to have to do if the time ever arises. And that means mom and dad, grandparents, city officials, folks who may be listening who just have an interest. That means you check and make sure that your local law enforcement has been given the tools they need, has been given access to the facilities, that your local community might even consider SROs if they don't already have them. And don't let them be a question of funding. Go fight for the funding. Go raise money for the funding. What would have happened in Uvalde, Texas, if they'd had leadership and funding sources that had put them in a position to do something different? It was feckless. It was awful. But I can't help but think it could have been different because we saw what happened in Nashville and we saw what just happened in Winder, Georgia. All right, there you go. That's my point. Back in the blue is a preliminary. Back in the blue is not just thanking them after the fact. Back in the blue is being there for them in advance so they have what they need. That's the point. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. It's time to switch dippers. Oh, Russia. No, they didn't just say that again, did they? Yeah, they did. That's where they're going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.